James 1, it says in verse number 1, James, a servant of God and Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because of as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Amen. Thank you for standing. Be seated. Back in James tonight, obviously. This is our fifth message here in James. I've had a couple people tell me how much they've enjoyed the Psalms 23 message on Sunday morning. I haven't had anybody say anything about James. I don't know why. James is so encouraging and uplifting and pats you on the back. If you believe that yet, man, listen too well. James is down where the rubber meets the road, like I told you before. He deals with the real life stuff that we can all relate to, but we don't want to admit that we can relate to it. He started out in this chapter 1 with an introduction to James. We looked at the Christian and his battles. The first several verses there, looked at those trials, those temptations, James calls them verse number 2, those hard trials in life that we all go through. We talked about that, and we learned about that, and we lived some of that. Then we looked at the results of going through those trials, the wisdom and the different things that can come and the blessings that come afterwards. Then we looked at that next temptation he speaks of and how the Lord does not send it there in verse number 13, those temptations to sin, temptations to do evil. We talked about how we aren't to blame God for our sin. Well, he's just a boy. Or, well, I'm just a man, like Adam. Well, that's the woman that you sent me, Lord. Don't blame God for your sin. We talked about that. Last week we got to the portion of Scripture we're in now. We're looking at the Christian and his Bible. Last week we looked at how it's a gift, and every good gift cometh from above. Now we ought to cherish it, how it teaches us, gives us the gospel, and shows us how to be saved. It's a gift from above, a perfect gift. What a good gift it really is. Now we begot the word of truth. What a gift. Here in these verses today, verses 19 through verse number 22, we're going to look at the Christian and his Bible again. Tonight we're going to see how James relates to not only gift, but relates it to a graft, engrafted word. I told you some Sunday that some messages were enjoyable to preach, like Psalms 23, and some were not. And this is not. I'm sorry. It's going to be kind of personal. I don't have very many people here, so I didn't plan on it that way. Lord did, though. I think I've been here long enough now, I can say this verse 19 and 20 especially were probably written for New Hope Baptist Church. Can I say that? I already did anyway. We're swift to speak. Well, I don't understand. Well, that's not what I think. That's not what I would do. The Lord has blessed us here. We don't have some of the problems other churches have. The Lord has blessed us. But one thing we struggle with, we have to admit it, is our mouths. All of us, myself included. Many times our lips start to move before our brain starts to work. You say, well, I keep my mouth shut. And speaking on Facebook means the same thing as speaking in public. It does just as much damage sometimes. Some people that wouldn't dare speak out in public speak whatever they want when they're hiding behind a keyboard. We're a drunk getting the liquid courage. I think some people have the keyboard courage nowadays. It's dangerous. And I'm not pointing fingers tonight. I don't think I need to. If the Lord wants to deal with you, the Lord will deal with you And I didn't plan on it being just us few here tonight. I'm glad it's not just my family here, because that would be really awkward. But now I've been kind of dreading these verses since we started James. I knew it was going to come. I knew it had to get there. The Lord brought it here tonight. He planned on it being here tonight. So that's what we're going to do. I struggle with if I should preach or not, because I really didn't know who all would come. But the Lord had planned who was going to be here when he told me to preach it. So I'm going to preach it. So I'm not going to skip over what the Bible says. So let's dig in a little more deeper into this passage. First off, we get just the slow to speak. And start right there in verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Wherefore, my beloved brethren. You ever heard that? You ever heard before that there's a reason God gave us two eyes and two ears and one tongue, just to listen and see twice as much as you're supposed to speak? I think it's something we probably all struggle with from time to time. How many of you here have ever blurted out something to your spouse or your kids before you really thought about what you were about to say? Don't act like you haven't. My pastor says, leave your halos at the door. We've all done it before. We all have, myself included. James says, listen quickly. And James says, be very slow to respond. Listen quickly, speak slowly. There's a lot of wisdom in those two phrases right there. A lot of arguments would never happen if we would follow those two phrases James gives us there. A lot of trouble never gets started. A lot of pastors have a whole lot less stress if people follow those verses, those words right there. A lot of marriages would probably be saved if we learned to listen to that verse number 19, especially as men. Well, I'm the man of the house and blah, blah, blah. You're the man of the house, not the mouth of the house. There's a big difference. Peter had to learn this lesson. You remember Peter over on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw the Lord. He saw Moses and Elijah. Immediately he blurted out and started speaking things. Didn't make sense. Whereas if he had simply slowed down, he would have probably realized he didn't need to say a word. But instead he blurted out, and God the Father had to speak from heaven and tell Peter to be quiet and listen to Jesus. I'm glad God doesn't always do that, because I'm sure he would have told me to shut my mouth a time or two before. I'm glad he doesn't always do what he did to Peter. Listening is an art we all need to practice. It's biblical. You may be thinking, come on, preacher, we get the point. There's a lot more to this thing. Jesus took listening very seriously. He said, no, he didn't. Let me show it to you. Luke 8, verse 8. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 11, 15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13, 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13, 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a son in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4:23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 7:16. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Luke 14:35. It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men are cast out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You get the point. Jesus said seven times there why he's here on earth. Seven times he says it over and over again. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Listen. He says again, Revelation 2:7, not only here on earth, he said it from heaven. He that hath the ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to the eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Over and over again, Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, he hath an ear to hear, ear to hear, let him hear. Eight more times, the Lord says it again. 15 times total recorded in Scripture, Jesus says, listen. Jesus speaks to those that listen. Listening is very important. Remember the story of God calling Samuel out in the temple. He's always out Samuel. Samuel runs to the prophet Eli. And Eli, the spiritual discernment he has, he says, go and lay back down. I wasn't talking to you. Or it wasn't me that talks. Over and over again. Eventually, he finally gets some discernment. Says, tells Samuel, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Can I challenge you tonight? Learn to listen. If nobody else learned to listen to the Lord, start there. Listen for his call. Listen to him. Listen to what he has to say. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We tell the kids all the time, especially Samuel and Josie, listen to me. Listen to my words. Look at my mouth. Listen to me. James is saying the same thing here. Listen to the Lord. Slow down and listen. We have to teach Samuel that he likes to interrupt and put his opinion in. And we expect that because he's 4 years old. There's a lot of adults today that still haven't learned that. Just because you have an opinion doesn't mean everybody needs to hear it. We need to learn to be swift to hear and slow to speak. James teaches us, think before you speak. Save a lot of trouble. David, when Nathan came to visit him, telling him about his sin, David says, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the land fourfold. Nathan says, thou art the man. David pronounced judgment on himself because he spoke before he thought. We like to speak before we consider the consequences. Is what you're going to say, is it going to hurt somebody else? Is it going to cause trouble? What is the purpose behind what you're saying? Is it a genuine concern, or is it out of spite and rebellion? Here's a good one we like to ignore. Would it be pleasing to the Lord for me to say what I'm about to say? So-and-so told me it's okay to say it, so I should say it. Let me just tell you, we like to say these phrases. Let me just tell you something. Well, that just makes me mad. We're going to get to that part here in a minute. I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. Most of us can't afford it. James says, slow down. James says, be swift to hear, slow to speak. Let your brain do its job. Let the Holy Spirit filter out those words you're about to spew all over your spouse and all over your kids and those in authority, on your pastor's wife. You should probably think about those things first before you say them. Think about how they're going to hurt. Think about what you're saying. You ought to watch your mouth, watch your attitude, learn to listen, take it all in, and then see what the Lord have you spit back out. Well, I just don't agree with that. It's okay. Swift to hear, slow to speak. That went over like a ton of bricks. I kind of expected that. Swift to hear, slow to speak. And we see James also continues, slow to wrath. The next step, James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. He speaks of wrath. End of verse 19, we see the rule, slow to wrath. And then in verse 20, we get the reason. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The word wrath we can see many times in Scripture. Even it speaks of the Lord's wrath. And you can see examples of that in the Bible. Jesus' wrath. Jesus there in a temple. He threw out the money changers. He threw the tables over. Holy indignation. The wrath of God. That is not what James is talking about here. He said, the Lord had wrath. That's not what James is talking about. James says the wrath of man. This phrase, wrath of man, is only mentioned twice in the entire Bible. Once here, then in James, and again in Psalm 76. Neither time is it a good thing. In Psalms, it's talking about the wrath of man being the enemy of Israel and how God would use that to cause Israel to praise the Lord because of the wrath of man of the enemy. Here in James, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So if this is not holy indignation, like Jesus has, what is this wrath he's speaking of? This is what we would call losing our temper. So I would call losing my temper. The wrath of man is us hearing and now being slow to speak and then flying off the handle with rage and wrath and doing damage that we cannot undo. John Phillips put it this way. Losing one's temper can never achieve anything, least of all the righteousness of God in one's life. It's not going to achieve a thing. The best biblical example of this, probably Moses. We've covered that many times here before. Moses, a meek and quiet man most of the time. Many times when he would have lost it on his congregation, when I probably would have lost it on the congregation, he did not. Moses held it together. There was one occasion he finally lost his temper. We're still reading about it today, at least thousands of years later. He messed up one time, and God wrote it down. We're still talking about it today. One time Moses messed up after God called him. It ought to serve as a warning to us. People were whining again about wanting water. You know the story. I'm not going to talk about it. Moses asked God about it. God told him to speak to the rock. And the first time God told him he'd smite the rock. So Moses, out of his wrath and losing his temper, he smacks the rock twice with his staff. The Lord gives him water. But Moses signed his death sentence with that one moment of a quick, hasty wrath, quick, hasty decision. First part of verse 19. I hate to say this. First part of verse 19 there, for the most part, many times, it's for the ladies. Don't throw anything at me yet. Many times, ladies struggle with that. The end of that verse, that's for us men. We have a whole other verse added on there as well. The wrath is usually us men that have a trouble with that. That temper is usually us that have trouble with that. I struggle with this one myself. I struggle with my temper more than my mouth many times. That's not a good thing. The Lord has helped me with it some. And I'm not perfect by any means. When I was younger, I really struggled with it. It only took one moment of weakness for Moses to lose what he had worked for most of his life. He's been headed there for almost 40 years now when he made this mistake. One time, one slip up, one mistake, one time losing his temper, it cost him what he's been aiming for his past 40 years. Men, fathers, those of you here tonight, those of you maybe listening on the radio, watch your temper. The Lord is long-suffering. The Lord will forgive. But you may do some damage here that you cannot undo. You get mad and you go, God forbid, you hope you wouldn't do this, but you go and punch a hole in the wall. God will forgive you. First John tells us that. But God's not going to come down and fix your sheetrock. You may lose your temper in front of your kids. God will forgive you. They're not going to forget that. You lose on your wife. God will forgive you. She's not going to forget that. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's important. It's a scary thing. You lose your temper, you hurt your testimony. We have some business owners here. We talked about that tonight. You lose your temper in front of your employees. That's your testimony on the line. They know who you are. They know where you go to church. You say things you shouldn't say. That's your testimony on the line. I'll go further than that. Not only that, that's a testimony of New Hope Baptist Church on the line. People know who you are here in this town. People know where you go to church. If I was on a CTA and I was working on something and you drove past and I was cussing and ranting and raving and throwing wrenches at machines, what would you think? The pastor's different there than he is at church. If you think that about me, that's what every other sinner's thinking about you. Be careful. Watch your wrath. Slow to wrath. Guard your testimony. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Because the wrath of man is not a reflection of the righteousness of God. I'm not just a pastor here. I'm a pastor everywhere I go. You're not just a member here. You're a member everywhere you go. You're not just saved here at church. You're saved everywhere you go. Slow to wrath. Verse number 21, we see how we're supposed to do this. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. I believe James here is saying the same thing that Paul said many other times in his writings. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Colossians 3:9, Paul says the same thing. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. James says you lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. That just means a surplus of abundance of naughtiness. James says get rid of the wickedness and the naughtiness. That old man used to fly off the handle at the drop of a hat. That old man used to speak whatever was on his or her mind before considering the consequences. James says you put those off. You get rid of them. Get rid of them. Wash them away. Cast that aside. Put on the new man. Just because you used to act like that doesn't mean you should still act like that now. If you have been saved, like we discussed before, that's who James is talking about here. Get rid of your old nature. James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. That engrafted means to implant, put together, plant together. In other words, the word here being the gospel, the Bible we have, the word he's speaking about, James says it ought to put some roots down inside of you. It ought to be implanted in your life. He says you put off that old man, put on the new man, and you engraft yourself in the word of God, and it'll help you. You read it, you study it, you meditate on it. Let it put some roots down deep in your heart. It'll help you be slow to speak, and slow to wrath, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Let the word of God implant itself in your heart and your mind. Just like I do, I was talking about Sunday morning with the sheep, how she can get through without any other water, just as long as they get up early and get something to do first thing in the morning. Let the word of God engraft itself in you. If you have God and the things of God in your mind, verse 19, be a whole lot easier to handle, whole easier to control, be a whole lot easier to control your temper. If you have scripture, the word of God on your mind, engrafted in your heart. He says also, which is able to save your souls. That's how we know what word he's talking about. Let the word of God implant itself in your heart. Get rid of the old man. Replace it with the engrafted word because it can save your soul. If you're saved now, it has saved your soul. You start listening to the word of God, it'll point you to salvation. We know that. It'll clean you up. It'll teach you to be slow to speak. Teach you to plant it'll plant some roots down deep. One thing about plants that I've found, I'm not a farmer, but it takes roots if they're ever going to grow any fruit. You want fruit to abound in your life. You want that fruit to abound. You want to be able to control your tongue and control your temper. You want fruit to abound in your life. You want a testimony. You want some fruits for your labor. The word of God's got to have put some roots down deep. Stop pulling it up so you can lose your temper. Stop hurting your testimony. Fruit cannot abound with no roots. There's no roots, plant's not going to grow. Fruit takes roots. See why in verse number 22. And I'm not going to get to all this tonight. There's a lot in this verse. And you can preach a whole message just on this one verse here. We may do that later on. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Do you hear the word of God? Do you follow through with what you've heard? It's easy to hear. It's hard to act. I can preach the Bible to you all day long. But if you never choose to change anything, it's in vain. As far as you listening, James says, don't just hear it. Do something about it. Don't just hear what I'm saying tonight. Go and do something about it. Don't just hear you should control your tongue. Try to change something, control it. Don't just hear you should put off the old man. Go home and do something about it. You go get somewhere with God and you spend some time with God and you do something about it. You men do something about it before you lose your temper. You ladies do something about it before you say something you shouldn't. Men the same way. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. He says deceiving your own selves. Jesus said the same thing himself in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these things, sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Jesus is saying the same thing here. James is saying, listen, follow through. Not only do be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What about us tonight, church? You're going to follow through with it. You're going to hear and do something about it, or you're going to shrug it off, and that's just a preacher running his mouth again. Don't be foolish, James says. Jesus said, don't be foolish. Don't build your house on the sand. Listen and follow through with it. James says, don't deceive yourselves. What about it, church? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. How do we do that? With the help of the engrafted word that ought to be taking root in your heart. Why? Because we ought to be hearing and doing the word of God. Not just hearing, but doing something about it. It's simple tonight. Maybe not what you're wanting to hear.